Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
I'm going to bring the Bible reading for this morning, which is from 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 7. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, peace the Lord be with you. I want to show you a photo up on the screen I took some years ago when I was out in the bush doing a little bit of hunting, and you can see that there's a tree there that has been pushed over. You can see the cause of that tree getting pushed over. Obviously, it happened when it was a sapling. See the rotted tree on the right-hand side there, and it has caused the full branch of that tree to go right down and to be, pushed almost onto the ground. But you can see the result of what's happened. You can see how that tree is continuing to grow. You can see the branches come up the top. It's quite a strong, healthy growth that's coming up, doing its thing. You know, it's never going to be a nice-looking tree, is it? You know, it's not going to end up on postcards or people are going to take photos of it. But the beauty of that tree is that it's actually got quite a sense of resilience going on with it. I don't know about you, but it sort of resonates with me, that tree. I like to look at it and think about that tree and think about it in life. I'm showing this picture because this tree has one purpose in life. And the one purpose of that tree is to grow upwards to grow in that upwards direction. Despite the obstacles, despite the hardship, the battering, it's doing just that, isn't it? It's growing up. It's growing up. It's fulfilling its primary purpose. Do you know, as a church, we have a significant purpose. And our purpose is to bring people to Jesus, transform them into his passionate disciples. And I started like last week by saying that, and I'm again this week coming back to it again. We do two particular things. We bring people to Jesus, and then we enable them to be transformed into his passionate disciples. And so at this moment, as Shane's explained to us this morning, we are part two of a five-part series discovering this second aspect of our mission statement, who we are, our purpose statement, bringing transforming people into his passionate disciple. And so to that end, we are doing all that we can to help people cope and survive and to thrive, even to fulfill their purpose as children of God, to put in place. And if we put in place good spiritual practices, we will find that they stand us in good stead all our lives. So here we have these habits that we've been talking about, these three more to go in the next couple of weeks, that if we hold on to them, if we put them in place and we turn them into a habit in our life, they will indeed help us as forces come against us, as things come to knock us over, as things come to push us down, they'll continue the growth in a Christward direction. It's said that to form a habit takes about 21 days. And that apparently came from the 1960s from a widely popular book called Psycho-Cybernetics. Anybody ever seen a copy of that book? I've never seen it. Was it? I'll see a hand? No. Just brushing your hair. By Maxwell Maltz, a plastic surgeon who noticed that his patients seemed to take about 21 days to get used to their new face. I think I need a bit more than 21 days to get used to a new face. But so I looked it up on the internet, of course. And I found that a 2009 study about the time that it takes to form a habit really isn't as clear-cut as 21 days. And so a study done from the University College London examined the habits of the new habits of 96 people over the space of 12 weeks and found that the average time that it takes to develop a new habit is actually 66 days. Furthermore, individual times varied from 18 days to probably more like me on the very slow end of the spectrum, 254 days to develop a new habit. So here's the thing. If you want to develop a new habit, a new behavior, a new way of living, it's going to take more than the 3 weeks we expect it to. More than 21 days. And we need to pursue in it, to keep it going, to keep working through it, especially when things are tough. We need to keep rolling into these habits. And so we end up with a routine that we can keep without thinking. So today, of course, I want to talk about grow or growing, and hence the tree pick at the start of my sermon. We're about growing our faith, developing rhythms that help us grow. And what I'm talking about is the spiritual disciplines that you can develop to help you grow and grow into a particular form. What is that particular form? It's the one purpose of the believer. What is it? To grow to be like Jesus. To grow to be like Jesus. That's the goal of the believer. So much of the New Testament is taken up with the instructions on growth and it's talking to believers, to whole churches, how they should grow into the likeness of Jesus. So all the moral exhortations and commands of the New Testament apply here. Why do they apply? Because they want you to go, the writers are saying, grow into the form of Jesus. Encouraging believers in one aspect or another of greater growth into Jesus in your life. You can look more like Jesus. But there are many things against us as we go to pursue this goal. Many things that come, that assail us, that knock us over, that knock us around. And often I wonder, why are they not more mature believers? Why are they not more mature people who've grown lifetime into the image of Jesus? And I wonder if it's, are we just comfortable? Have we lost sight of a picture of eternity? Do we have our priorities wrong? I mean, if we want something, we all seem to find ways in which to do it. We make time for things that are important. Don't we see that it's important to grow in God's grace, to be mature as believers? Is it that we're just not willing to put ourselves out there and have a risky faith? The old saying is that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step, and to some extent our 1,000-mile journey begins with a new step every day as we step out. And so I want to grow to be like Jesus more and more. I want to be clear too, because I don't want this to be just about a works that what we do. Growing in God is a partnership, and maturing in God is what God's about as well. He wants us to be mature followers of Him. And God actively seeks ways in which we could grow and mature in Him. And I wonder if in time to come, this life or the next, whether we'll stand back and we'll go, my goodness me, those things that I thought were a curse on my life actually helped us grow. And the most pivotal thing that formed us into His image. So here's a question I want to answer for today. What do we do, notwithstanding that God's working within and around us as well, what do we do to foster our own growth as disciples of Jesus? And as with anything growing, there are essentials that will give us particular results. So if you talk to an athlete, if you talk to a footballer, if you talk to a bodybuilder, you'll find some common themes. And so what I want to do is I want to give you four of the broadest themes for growth. So here we go. Here's the first one, my favorite one. We grow by eating. Of course we must eat. Of course we have to eat. It's sensible and obvious for our growth. When I used to go to my nana's place up in Tanunda, when I asked for seconds, let me be truthful. When I asked for thirds, she'd say, well, of course you are a growing boy. Of course you can have that. If we want to continue to grow, how can we survive without eating? You know, you can't go very long without eating, can you? I don't know about you, but I've timed myself. My record for going without eating is probably just a little over 4 hours. But any sustained fasting will have the opposite effect on you, won't it? It diminishes. It doesn't give your body what it needs. And what happens is you get that sort of hypoglycemic and you sort of shrivel up and die and cry on the kitchen floor. It's not hard to work out what the food is for spiritual growth. It's not rocket science. Jesus said to his disciples, John 6:63, "The words I've spoken to you, they are full of spirit and of life." What do you think he means? Full of spirit and of life. Consume his words, they will give you life. They are the food that we need to imbibe in order to find out what God thinks of this world and what God understands about this world. There's no secret in this that in fact, the number one way to grow your faith is if you read your Bible. Boy, so complicated, isn't it? I know. I mean, I'm going to write a book on that and go on the speaking tour trip and all that sort of stuff. It's so straightforward. And the last couple of years, about the last 30 years, as the church has done surveys and understood this, the global church, try to understand what it is that helps spiritual growth in people's lives, it comes back to the same old thing. Read your Bibles. Read your scriptures. Understand God's word for yourself. Read it. Soak it in. Imbibe yourself into it. If you want to know what God thinks of this world, if you want to know who Jesus is, if you want to know how the Spirit moves in the world, then consume the written word. We call it the Bible. If you can't afford to buy one, I'd love to give you one. If you don't want to come and ask me for one and you've got a phone, you can get it downloaded on your phone. It's as easy as that. You can even get it spoken to you. I think there's a version with James Earl Jones speaking it out, Darth Vader. You can hear it if you want to. You know, I read my Bible morning and night mostly. I make it a habit to read my Bible both ends of the day. Not because I'm some super Christian. I'm far from any super Christian. But because I want to know God. I want to know his words for my life. I want to hear his input into my life. You know, I want to know what he's thinking. How do I do that? I open up his word. The same yesterday, today, forever. Helps me understand. When I read in the mornings, I actually journal a little bit and I write a few things down, and I find this really helpful to write some stuff down. I don't write down a lot, just a little bit, and I actually keep a bookmark in where I was at the same time the year before, and sometimes the year before that too, and I actually flip back where I was this time last year. It's amazing. The things that I was struggling with in a few years ago or last year, I've seemed to come to resolution in my life. I encourage you to do that. But there are four questions I ask of the text, and there's heaps of different ways to do this, but here's the four things that work for me, and they're up on the screen. What is God saying through this? What am I learning from this? What can I take away from this? And what principles are there in this? These are the four things that I actually ask, and I don't even write them out. I just do one, two, three, or four, and I just jot down a few notes around that. You know, I don't get to hear from God all the time. And I'm not like one of those super spiritual people that hears God and hears God's voice all the time. But I tell you what, I know one thing. When God wants to speak to me, I'm going to be ready, waiting to hear. That's the deal. And so if you're like me, put yourself in a place where God can speak to you. Put yourself in a spot where when God is ready to speak to you, when he wants to communicate to you, you're ready to hear. And I reckon that faithfulness is rewarded. The other part of this, of course, is knowing about scriptures, not just doing it personally, but doing it corporately, doing it together. And I mean doing it in a group, doing it in a small group. So I encourage you to get yourself into a small group. I encourage you to be faithful to the small group. I encourage you to contribute to the small group. I encourage you to keep turning up to that small group. And as you share scripture together, you will find the richness that comes from community. It's God's preordained way in which we would understand his words. The second thing, we grow by breathing. Of course we do. All athletes know that proper breathing is paramount, in and out. And if you've ever done any swimming, you know that it's not just about taking air in, it's actually about expelling the air so that you can take fresh air in your system. Of course we all know about breathing. You all try to walk up a steep hill or try to run up a steep hill, and we've all been lacking oxygen and breathing hard. Controlling your breathing is one of the big things in many sports. Of course, we must breathe spiritually. And it won't surprise you me to tell you that breathing is akin to prayer for the soul. You have to breathe in that respect. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I'll read out the entire verse to you. It says this, pray continually. You want to memorize the verse? There you go. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. I think you've all just memorized the verse this morning. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. Who's anxious? Who's ever been anxious? Of course, everybody's going to put their hand up. Not be anxious about anything, but in everything. What's the resolution for anxiety? By prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Prayer and petition. Like oxygen, if you do not pray, then you cannot supply your body the needs that it has. But here's the thing. I can finally push a metaphor beyond just the first section of it. Often we think that prayer is a one-way street, and prayer is great when we hear God's voice. It's an opening of our heart. It's a wonderful experience for us. It can lead us in a great maturity when God speaks to us and vibes into our soul. But it also can be a cleansing experience. Prayer takes things out of us as well. It renews us. It expunges the toxicity that we have within inside of us. It takes away our selfishness, takes away our pride. It removes our unholy desires. It takes away our desire to sin. It's like breathing. We take good air in. We hear God's voice. It soaks inside of us. It nourishes us where we need it. We're taking God's perspective, and then we expel the carbon monoxide. We let go of our perspective, and we bring back in God's. Just like that. I have a really old lawnmower. And I've got an affinity with my lawnmower. And it always does what I ask it to do. It's great. It starts on the third pull every time. I love that lawnmower. But it's had a few battle scars. And so I had to replace the pull cord. So I've got parachute cord on there. And it's been working for the last 9 years. It's great. I've sharpened the blades I don't know how many times. The throttle doesn't work anymore up on the hand, so I've got to do it down on the motor. But it goes really well. And over time, the spark plug lead has vibrated so much so that it's slogged it out a little bit and sort of comes off. And I've learned that you don't touch it with your hand when it comes off. You've done that too, have you? And I've worked out how to do it with my boot while I'm still going along so that I can actually do that. So my lawnmower does everything I ask it to do, and it's got rivets and bolts, and it's a piece of work. It's a miracle, as the combustion engine is a miracle, that it continues to go. But I've learned one thing, and that is if I bump that lawnmower into the trailer, which is sort of parked where it shouldn't be, and or into the tree, which is planted where it shouldn't be, or into the front steps, and there's a front step that just hits it just right, and it moves the air filter intake to the side, guess what? The lawnmower doesn't go. Stops it. But if I move it back just that little bit, it breathes again, and away it goes. You know, but if I leave it to the side, I can pull it and pull it and pull it and pull it and pull it until I'm blue in the face, and I can say nice words to it or not so nice words to it, and it still won't go with that air cleaner around the side. But if I move it back, it'll go every time. It's as simple as this. If you block your spiritual air intake, then you're in big trouble. This is a spiritual truth. Doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how bad you are, you will not grow. You've got to open up that spiritual air intake to hearing Jesus. Some people say, I can't pray. I don't know what to do. I can't pray for an hour. It's too much. It's too difficult. We've printed some resources in that little handbook. So I encourage you to have a look at those. There's some guidance on how to pray. Look, if you can pray, excuse me, if you can pray for 5 minutes a day, by the clock, after a week, you will notice a significant difference in your life. I encourage you to breathe. Breathe spiritually. Third thing, we grow by exercising. I'm sure you're delighted to hear that one. Any athlete or bodybuilder knows that you have to exercise to grow. The principle of muscle growth is simple. You load the muscle up in a particular way that it is beyond what it can sustain, and the muscle says to the rest of the body, my goodness me, I've had a shock in my life, I need some help, and so it sends all the nutrients, and so the muscle adds another layer of fiber, and it just grows that little bit bigger, so the next time that happens, it's got a little bit more strength and it can overcome the resistance that's put upon it. And I think you probably know what I'm going to say next. The same is true of our spiritual growth. We have to exercise the parts that we have in order to make them bigger. Jesus tells us this in the parable, a parable of the master who went away and entrusted three of his guys, of his workers, with some money. We call it the parable of talents. And so he gives money to these, and when he comes back some years later, two of them have used the money and worked it, and one of them, and they got accolades and received rewards, and the third one just dug a hole, put it in there, and didn't touch it. And then when the master comes back, he actually gives him some judgment, some punishment, and takes away what he had. The point of the story is that we all expected to grow with whatever we have been given and to enlarge our portion of faith. That's the expectation on a believer. So a man tells his doctor that he hasn't been able to do all the things around the house that he used to be able to do. And so the doctor gives him a great big examination and all sorts of tests and things. And when it was complete, the man said to the doctor, Doc, tell me straight up in plain English, I can take it. Tell me what I've got. And the doctor says to him, you're lazy. And the man says, well, now can you give it to me in medical language so I can tell my wife? Of course, I'm not calling us lazy, but merely saying we are very good at using escape and avoidance techniques when it comes to spiritual exercise. And I reckon the mark of the Western church in time will be of a fat church, because we know so much, but we don't use it. And we're a little bit like the football teams, aren't we? You know, we all go to watch, and you know, 36 players who desperately need a rest, and there's 40,000 spectators who desperately need exercise. Isn't that the truth? So how do we do that? Well, I'll talk about how do you spiritually grow through exercise in the next couple of weeks, and that's pretty late and heavy on that end of the spectrum. But let me suffice to say, get involved, join a team, serve, share, contribute, even in small ways. It has a profound effect on your faith. I learned this lesson some years ago when a young man who was working for me left my employment and took a sensational appointment in interstate. And he connected with the church there. He worshipped at that church regularly and faithfully. But when he came back and we caught up a year later, we had lunch, and he said, my faith is nothing, John. I don't know what's going on with my faith. I can't work out what's going on. And I didn't know at that time, and it was in further reflections later on, that I realized that his faith was growing when he was connected to serving. His faith was growing when he's connected to serving. When he was committed, when he served, when he got involved, when he owned what was going on. I don't know about you. I suspect that's probably right, because when I reflect on that in my own life, that's true for me too. I can't be a passenger with faith. I've got to be involved. I've got to be connected. I reckon it's true for most of us. The fourth thing, last one, you'll love this one. We grow by resting. We grow by resting. I thought there'd been hallelujahs sounded at that. It might surprise you, but any athlete or footballer or bodybuilder will tell you that you cannot just continue with exercise, because you'll wear yourself out. And all the novices that try and do exercise and exercise and exercise, and there's probably a whole pile of people who've crashed out of gyms after the January the 1st sort of influx, who got a program and did it for 6 days and then went, my goodness me, I'm not growing and I'm so tired, I don't know what I'm doing. There's a rhythm of exercising. And so spiritual rest has a whole sermon attached to it, but let me give it to you in a nutshell. Resting, taking a break spiritually, slows us down, gives us a moment to reflect, to catch our breath, to hear the voice of God. It actually helps us repair relationships. Really important. It actually tells us that the world will go on around us even when we're not contributing. Resting models the image of our Creator, who rested on the seventh day. Now, I'm delighted that my wife is not here to help me, to hear me, because she's in with the children's program, talking about rest, because I'm probably not the person to be talking so much so about rest. But in my defense, I need two of the practices that I use in resting. I've made it my habit to take my annual leave when it comes available. I don't store it up. And I do attempt to do other things than my normal week's work on my day off. But I also, here's something that's really sustained me over the years. I try to work in a rhythm of rest in every day, in every week, in every month, and in every year. And I think there's a whole pile of rhythm that we miss out on that our forebears knew all about, and that we just turn the lights on, turn the computer on, and we just keep going. And we need to come back to that rhythm again and again. Resting allows us to catch up, to repair spiritually, to refresh, to worship, to reflect. How do you do it in the midst of a busy life? How do you do it when the kids got to go somewhere and your work's calling for stuff and you got to work at night and all this sort of stuff? I tell you how you do it. You plan for it. You actually diarize it and you make it a priority. And after a while, it becomes a habit and a spiritual habit. So let me conclude. You might think what I've said today is simple. That's because it is. Simple to understand, quite difficult to do. The scripture reading from today that Shane read to us from 1 Timothy 4 exhorts us to train ourselves in godliness. It calls us towards that. Why does it say that? It says that because it has eternal value. We need to think about that a lot more. Eternal value. My friends, we have to understand that these five habits, that growing in God is about now, but it's also about eternity. We need to get a picture of heaven. We grow by eating, we go by breathing, we go by exercising, we grow by resting. If you do these things, my goodness me, you will notice it. Let me say a prayer. Father, we thank you for the simple things in life which hold such profound implications. Help us not to neglect them just because they're simple. May we grow in you. Give us the desire to grow deep in you. Build us as a church of mature followers of you, we pray, Jesus. Help us to see things through your eyes, especially our own spiritual growth. In your name we pray. Amen.